Praise the Lord, family. This is Mama T coming to you. I am so excited that you chosen to tune in and listen to this broadcast. This is the Gift of Life show, and you know, Papa Walter is retired now, so you're going to probably hear more of him down the road. But meanwhile, you have me, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit with you, too, if you're a born-again believer. You know, I just really want to encourage anybody today, no matter what you're going through, just know with God, all things are possible with Him. And you just have to have faith, you know, and be grateful and thankful for the little things, you know, and things that you might not see what God is doing, because He is working no matter what. We got to know that as born again believers, that God is working whether we see it or not, or believe it or not. God is working, and and all things are possible to possible, Jesus said in Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And He's talking about we can even forgive those that have hurt us, and be grateful and thankful and say thank you to the Lord, even in things that have been difficult in our lives that we find it hard to say thank you. We can still be grateful for something. And in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And in Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible with him. So brothers and sisters, just believe. Just believe that all things are possible with him. And all we have to do is just look at creation and just remember that we're actually alive today. And because of him, it's the very breath that he's given us on his planet Earth that he designed that would be suitable for us to enjoy him and to glorify his name. Now, I want to read this verse. I love this. It's in Jeremiah 9. Verses 23 and 24. Listen to what it says here. It says, oops, I think I lost my place here. Here we go, right here. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Here it is now. But, here's the contrast, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Isn't that beautiful? I love that verse. And it just reminds me to give God all the credit for the very air that I breathe and anything I do for him in the name of the Lord. So now we're going to look at another parable in the Bible. It's pretty familiar, but maybe not remembered as much as we should. But it's called, it's a story about the 10 leopards. And the question is, what is the story about in the 10 leopards in the Bible? Well, in Luke chapter 17, verse 19, this is what it says. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, that he passed through the midst of the Samaritan and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village, and there with him 10 men who were leopards, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their eyes and their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he had saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this one foreigner? And he said to them, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Isn't that something? So here it is. Recording in this particular account about the 10 men, they had like this infectious skin disease, commonly known as leprosy. Okay, and in the Israelite community, when a person had discovered a rash or some kind of skin disorder, they had to go to the priests for examination, and the priest would determine whether that person's disease was contagious or not, and whether that person was declared ceremonially clean or unclean. And if they were unclean, they had to be excommunicated from the community. Okay, they had to be isolated, and many times, unfortunately, many of them had to live as outcasts until they died. That was a law in Leviticus 13, and it was necessary. This was necessary in order to keep the infectious disease from becoming an epidemic and affecting others around. And you know, in my heart, right now, in this modern time, you know, there's many diseases, many sicknesses. Oh my gosh, I know people right now today that are suffering from many kind of diseases, but God can heal us from all those diseases and cleanse us from all our sins, which he already has on the cross. In Psalms 107, verse 20, he's already done that. But you know, many of them don't claim that verse. They don't claim what Jesus has done. And unfortunately, they're still going around with all these sicknesses. But like I read earlier, with God, all things are possible. And this one foreigner, okay, comes back and gives praise to God loud and clear. And Jesus healed many individuals in the scriptures with leprosy. And the one that I'm thinking of most commonly, you might remember, was Naaman. Remember Naaman back in 2 Kings chapter 5? And he, at verse 15, he praised God for this healing that he had. And so, you know, when you see God doing something in your life, or when you even don't see him doing something in your life, you got to have faith and just believe no matter what and give God the praise. And now, at the moment of Jesus giving this instruction to these men, they were healed. All of them were healed. You know, but they weren't healed. They didn't see the physical changes taking place until their faith was put to the test. Their faith had to be activated. When the men obeyed what God said to do, as they began to walk towards the priests, going in that direction that Jesus told them to go get examined, they were healed. Jesus always requires faith on the part of the person who's asking for anything, healing or anything. We just got to believe that all things are possible, and when we walk by faith and not by sight. And many times he asked those who wanted to be healed, he would say, "Do you believe?" He'd say, "Do you believe that I can do this?" Matthew 9:28, Mark 9:20 and 24. He required a demonstration of faith on the part of the lepers in asking them to walk away even before he had healed them. But when Jesus spoke, they were already healed. But they had to activate their faith. And that's what we teach in our classes. You know, we teach in our classes that, with my book, Do You See What I See? We try to teach people to see beyond what they really see. And how you do that is you just believe by faith. And then you'll discover, when you know who you are in Christ, you'll know why you're here on earth, and you'll know what your purpose is. And whether you see the manifestation of it not, or not, which you will, because you're going to bear fruit. But while it's bearing, while you're waiting, while that seed's germinating and it's all happening underground and you don't see it, you got to persevere. Your expectations, your faith has got to be really, really high. My daughter and I, we're very close, and I was talking to her today, and we were sharing about raising our antenna, our expectations, higher. No matter what it seems to look like, no matter if we don't feel like we want to do right, we still continue to press on and expect a harvest with the Lord, no matter what. Expect our healing or whatever it is that you need at this time. But look at this. It says the Bible does not record how far they walked before they were healed, but one man returned to thank Jesus for his healing. Isn't that something? And he had a loud voice glorifying God. He wasn't ashamed. Luke makes special mention of the fact that this one who returned was a Samaritan. A person despised, now you have to read the story about that in John 4, but a person that was despised by the Jews. Isn't that something? Now, the other ones had to be Jews, because Jesus told them, he told them all to go to the priests. So Jesus didn't discriminate between Gentiles and Jews and all that. You know that. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not prejudiced like that. But the Jews, they had a hatred towards the Samaritans, and I won't go into that. But for right now, but basically, the foreigner, the one that wasn't considered to be in the in-group, be of the right lineage and have the right heritage, they separated themselves from that. But guess what? Isn't it funny? When they all got sick, it didn't matter. The Jews didn't care. Throw the sick Jew in the same place, and the Gentile in the same place, and this foreigner, just put them all together, because their value to them didn't matter, because they were sick and they couldn't be used. Isn't that something? Now that's prejudices right there. But when they got well, when they all got well, the 9 Jewish people should have returned back and thanked Jesus, but they didn't. You know why? Because they were concerned about one thing, getting what they wanted. They were looking at Jesus as a kind of like a genie in a bottle. Give me what I want right now. And then when everything seems to be okay, then I just kind of go off to my own normal life, forgetting about what God has done. And see, God doesn't want us to do that. As believers, He wants us to be grateful and thankful for everything that we have, especially our salvation. Because this Samaritan or this foreigner, he not only got healed physically, but he got healed spiritually. So these unbelieving Jews that didn't come back and give thanks for what God had done through Jesus Christ, they may have gotten their physical healing, just like the sun shines on the just and the unjust, but they missed out the most important, their spiritual healing or being born again. Isn't that something? Jesus expresses a sense of disappointment that the other 9 had not thought to give praise to God for their healing. Wow. And so it says here, from this we learn, here's a lesson, that God desires for us to express faith and thankfulness. He really does. You gotta have faith in God's word. Isn't that something? We gotta believe what God's word says, but the only way we're gonna believe what God's word says, we gotta know what God's word says. And this is why I'm doing all these parables, because these parables are so rich with meanings of stories, of these earthly, tangible stories that we can understand, but they have spiritual implications and spiritual truths for us spiritual beings that have been born again. So in this lesson, basically, I'm sure there's many lessons we can learn, but in this parable, basically be thankful. Whether you see anything happening from God or what you think, be thankful. Just be thankful that you're alive. Be thankful that you woke up this morning. Be thankful that you have food on your table. Just count your blessings one by one, as they say. And be thankful and be grateful and realize faith is what's going to move these mountains. It's just believing without seeing. And you know, I have that part that I love about Thomas in John chapter 20. I've read that several times on our show, but I'm going to read it again. Look with Thomas now. Remember, here's Thomas that walked with the Lord, was his disciple. And look what he said in John 20. This is after Jesus was crucified. Then he's resurrected. He comes back and he visits the disciples the first time, but Thomas isn't there. And then when Thomas comes, they say, hey, we have seen the Lord, you know. And so Thomas says, unless I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my fingers in the prints of the nails, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. See, brothers and sisters, this is how we think. God's designed us to think, feel, and choose. You think with thoughts. And you can, I tell my students, you only have 2 stores to shop from. Satan's store that brings death, and God's store that brings life. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to heal, restore, and give life in Jesus Christ. And you have the power to choose. Deuteronomy 30:19. Okay, God has not made us robots. He's given us a mind to think with and then feelings to feel with. And then you get to make your choice. Thomas made his choice. He said, I will not believe. And so 8 days later, the disciples were there in a room again in the upper room, and then there was Thomas. This time Jesus comes through and he says, right through the doors, I guess, or through the walls, he says, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your fingers here and look at my side, and reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe. Isn't that beautiful? See, the enemy, Satan, and sin, toxic thoughts that we have adopted over the years as non-believers and need to detox as believers. In 2 Peter, it says, verses 1 and 8, that Satan wants us to forget. Peter says, hey, he's like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And he says that in 2 Peter 1, 8, he says, if we forget our great salvation, I'm telling you, Satan's got us. And that's what God has wants us to remember, who we are in Christ. And that's what my book is all about, who we are in Christ. But look what it says here in 8. For if these things are yours, let me go back up to, 8. For if these things are yours, this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and who you are in Christ and your relationship with Christ as being a born-again believer. So he says, if these things are remembered, and what are you got to remember? Well, you got to first go back to chapter verse 1 all the way down to verse 7. Remember, you're connected to the divine nature. You have the divine power. Peace and mercy will be multiplied to you. And you have to add to your faith, verse 5, you have to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, and self-control, and perseverance. That's expectation. Holding on when you don't want to hold on, regardless how you feel. Holding on when you don't see anything. Holding on no matter what anybody says. You got to hold on to what God has called you to do, but you got to know what he's called you to do in his word. And then he says you're going to hold on to kindness and godliness and brotherly kindness. So he says if these things are yours and you're doing these things, this is de-weeding, this is waxing off and waxing on, this is renewing your mind with the word of God. He says, for he who lacks these things, now you lack doing that and you're not doing that, you become short-sighted even to blindness and have forgotten that he was cleansed from all his sins. You see that? You can forget. So that's the enemy. He wants you to forget who you are. Like these nine leopards, they forgot what Jesus had done. Because their focus wasn't on worshiping and being grateful and thankful. They just wanted, gimme, 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 gimme. And you know what? If you look in Acts, Jesus said, Paul quoted Jesus in Acts. I love this. I just told my daughter this just today. I believe it's Acts. Let me find it. Acts 20. He says, it was the only place in the Bible where the scriptures, only place in the New Testament where the Gospels were actually where Jesus was quoted in the epistles, I should be saying. But right here it says in Acts chapter 20, it says 35, I have shown you this in every way by laboring like this. This is Paul to the Ephesus believers and the elders. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said. This is Paul quoting Jesus in one of the epistles. Isn't this beautiful? The only one in the epistles that Jesus is being quoted by an apostle. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what needed to happen in the story with the 10 leopards? They needed to give thanks, just like we do. We need to give thanks for everything that God has done for us. And even giving thanks in your trials and your tribulations. You're not thanking God for the trials and the tribulations. Don't get me wrong now. But you're thinking that God is in the trials and the tribulations for you. He's like Daniel. You know, Daniel, you know, there he was in that horrible situation. But he was like the fourth man in the fiery furnaces with Daniel. You know, and Jeremiah, he's another prophet, the weeping prophet. God bottles all your tears. Psalms 56, 8. He bottles your tears. Psalms 126, verse 5. Because he remembers and he knows and he sympathizes. He's with us. He's with you. But you must do what he tells you to do. You know, we could go back to Genesis chapter 3:10, very beginning where God spoke to Adam and he told him what to do. Don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat from this tree, the tree of life. Every other tree you can have, but don't touch this one. But they chose to believe the lie. They get caught. Adam says, hey, I heard your voice. But I chose to hide because I was afraid. Actually, it goes, I heard your voice. I was afraid. There's the emotion. And I hid. There's the action. So thinking and feeling and choosing is vital to be aware of how you're thinking, what you're thinking, and then you'll make the right choices. So if your life is kind of like in the pits right now, and you feel discouraged, and feel like you're in this dungeon of despair, it's not that the circumstances put you there, it's the choices that you made that led you there. So here again, one way of getting out of those negative pits, those negative strongholds, is to be thankful. Be grateful for what God has done for you. Even though Jesus did not withhold the healing from the 9 who did not thank him, he made a point of noting that the lack of their gratefulness, Luke 17:18, because they had faith, all 10 were physically healed. But Jesus' final words to the grateful Samaritan, the foreigner, implies that this man received spiritual healing. Basically, he was born again. That's what that is. In addition to the cleansing of his skin. See, God, he's a healer. He can do anything. And one way you can get your healing going, believer, since you're already spiritually born again, is to give him thanks. Stop complaining and griping and stop running to the doctors every time you have a little snivel. Go to the great physician first. Go to the spiritual side of who you are in Christ first, and let the Holy Spirit tell you where you need to go physically, or even if you even need to go. Or call the elders of the church, hang around spiritual people, and pray on that. Stop just ignoring the physical and just running to the spiritual. Stop ignoring the spiritual and running to the physical first, and then going on about your business like these 9 did. He says, after the men had already been healed of leprosy, Jesus said to, or after the man had already been healed from leprosy, Jesus said to him, go. He said, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Verse 19. Isn't that beautiful? It could be that the man returned to fall at Jesus' feet and give him spiritual, and then Jesus gave him spiritual wholeness when he came back and said thank you, in addition to the physical wholeness that he had received. When we take time, hallelujah, to acknowledge the giver and not just the gifts, we please God as well as enjoying the spiritual healing that comes from being grateful. And that's the message I believe that this story is telling us, that Jesus is telling us in this parable, that he wants us to be grateful. I wrote a booklet called Thinking Thankful Thoughts 12 years ago, well, maybe 11 years ago, right after our son committed suicide. And it's on our site. If you go to www.lovebyexample.com and go to the book, click on the book tab that our daughter has there, and you'll see there, it's a little booklet, but it is a handy little booklet. That's where I learned about where to be grateful. That's when I really learned how to be thankful in the darkest time of my life. But I tell you, since then, I have gotten closer and closer to God. I love him so much more. I'm so grateful for what he's done. I'm grateful I get to give these shows. I'm grateful that I have a home. I'm grateful I got students that I can talk to and share with, women that love me and I love them. I'm grateful I got a husband going on 32 years. I'm grateful for all my kids, for what I have. I don't see my glass half empty anymore. I see it half full. And you know what? I see it that I'm filled up with the fullness of God. In Colossians chapter 3, it tells us in chapter 2 that we are filled with all the fullness of him. So brothers and sisters, see beyond what you see and see who he has made you to become. Get my book, Do You See What I See? Read it. Encourage yourself in the Lord like David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Encourage yourself in the Lord and think about what you're thinking about. Think about, I tell my students, nothing we think and say and do, it all begins with a thought. Thoughts are real and they occupy mental real estate in your mind, but you got to choose who you're going to believe in. When you start believing God, you're going to start thanking him and praising him, because God can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens us. But you got to thank him and you got to be grateful and you got to be born again. Okay, actually reverse it. Born again, thankful and grateful. But in any case, brothers and sisters, I love you. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, email me, write me, text me, whatever. Let me know how I can pray for you. I love to pray, and just know God loves you and he has a plan for your life.
I never give a thought to the word impossible, because it's just another loser's line. I'm ever pressing on to a certain victory that I know in time will soon be mine. God said it in his book, that's where I read it, and I believe it. I can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and in the name of Jesus, it has to flee. I can do all things through him. I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. I can do all things through him. I can do all things through him. I'm living my life in the Spirit, and that's a thing my flesh can't understand. Hey, but only through the Spirit can I know true victory, more than all the world can comprehend. 'Cause I live by faith and not by sight. I can do all.